They're always comfortable.
I saw them in the hall.
They, you know, they didn't tell anybody.
One of the things that always
happens. I think we may have obviously Bob is not
a long time.
He told me earlier this morning, and I'm not certain about the president.
What's that?
Now he said something about a motion which would essentially kill the bill if the motion passed. I don't think the motion will pass, but the motion would give him a reason not to vote. He wants to make a motion to pay part of the money. But part of the money is not what's acceptable to Delmarva. I called Delmarva about his concern that I told him I would. Glenn Moore is the regional vice president who negotiated the deal. And he's in Washington, but he said here, Delmarva would not come to a public forum to discuss somebody's. And the special authority, they're just not going to do this against policy. So that's not an option that we would have Delmarva come here and try to renegotiate it tonight.
No.
So given the fact that you, Bob, Kovac, seems to be the only people that have some reason, I think we would still have it. So I don't know. Now, the other thing Kovac said is that can we change the vote after we vote? And I think he wants to give himself some latitude, but we don't do that. They do that in Dover. That's not one of our... You don't say no and then say
yeah. We don't get that one. Yeah.
Yeah, we don't go back and forth.
No, good presentation.
Given what the best I can see, because I haven't heard any other council person say anything.
Shit, I don't know, pal.
About a concern, a real concern. People are concerned, but they're concerned more about going forward. It's not about people are sharing the same concerns that we shared on Friday. Once we turn these lights on, then all hell's going to break loose going forward with how, what our relationship is going to be. But it's just a matter of now.
Good too.
I was hoping it was snowing.
This guy always stands around making himself look good. Well, put it this way. Yeah, I try to get my wife to lay everything out. That's
fine. And then we have to vote on it.
Councilman Boyle, will you get out of the chamber? Councilman Boyle, call it Councilman Boyle. Councilman Boyle, would you leave the chamber? I got a phone call complaining they expanded to 14. District number zero.
Said the other day, I said only at Parks here. Parks here. You had it. But I said, you know, I'm just.
He
didn't know. You know, it was a call.
Doesn't he work for you? So I said,
he's not used to it yet.
That's a problem. Well, he's there. Listen.
On the menu.
Okay. Where does the water
go? Lots of kosher, right?
That's what it means. The whole.
Right. No, they're considered like.
From another country.
Sure. Sure.
Isn't in that room?
Oh, I know that. This was in the rain, in a tent, on a blacktop surface, from Kelly. Won't be the first time. Won't be the last time.
Oh, what a George guy. I love you.
Like your hair?
You're that.
I know that. A uniform. A
picture. A kid. He went through a whole list. I thought he was going to go out. I said, so,
you can move.
I said, oh, you can't do that. I don't know. So, right now, I just pulled him out. I said, the room. I said, hi.
Sure.
This guy, this. I thought he was going to go around and start talking about us.
He's looking at that arsenal that we saw. They're all in your
store.
I swear to God, George, every time I open an email, it's from the police department. If it's something bad, it's your district.
We're prepared to defend our district.
Janet, don't say nothing. One time I said something, that's when the guy got burnt the very next day.
Is it coming? I'd like to call the meeting to order. If we could all please stand for a moment of silence. Thank you. As a special treat tonight, we're going to have Troop 919 from St. Catharines of Siena come on up, and they're going to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance. Come on up, gentlemen.
That's it, Mark.
Come on down.
Absolute. I pledge
allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you, gentlemen.
Good job.
Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Bell?
Here. Here.
Here.
Mr. Collins.
Here.
Mr. Kilpatrick.
Here.
Mr. Probach.
Here.
Mr. Powers.
Here.
Mr. Retta.
Here.
Mr. Sheldon.
Here.
Mr. Smiley.
Here.
Mr. Street.
Here.
Mr. Tackett.
Here.
Mr. Weiner.
Here.
Mr. President, the roll call reveals
15. Thank you, Madam Clerk. Moving to the approval of minutes. Are there any corrections or amendments to the minutes of the meeting of January 25th, 2011?
Motion to approve.
Second.
Hearing none, hearing motion in the second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
The minutes are approved. Moving on to announcements. Are there any announcements from members of council? Councilman Smiley.
Yes, Mr. President. Notify council, those in attendance, that at the proper time, I'll be asking for council's consent to table ordinance 10-045.
Thank you, Councilman Smiley. Councilman Bell.
Thank you, Mr. President. Under the proper order of business, I will be asking council for its consent to table ordinance number 11-008.
Thank you, Councilman Mel. Any other announcements from members of council? At tonight's meeting, after the discussion of a particular ordinance, we'd like to give each member of the public an opportunity to speak. Each member of public will have 3 minutes to present your information to council, and there'll be a warning light up here, a yellow light with 30 seconds, and then at the end of 3 minutes, we ask that you yield your time to the next person wishing to communicate. This isn't to cut off any form of communication, but we debate these in council and committee meetings, and then we come on the floor, and we try to limit the comments to a nice orderly meeting so we can proceed with our business. Moving on, introduction of ordinances. Madam Clerk, please proceed with the introduction of ordinances.
Ordinance 11012, revised zoning map for anyone, 100 Northeast Side, Lure Avenue, Northwest Side, Blue Rock Road. 0.23 acre from NC 6.5, Neighborhood Conservation, NC 6.5, and 8 Historic Overlay Zone. Ordinance 11013, amend the FY 2011 annual operating budget, revised administration.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. All these ordinances shall be considered at the February 22nd, 2011 council meeting, with the exception of those items that require Board of Commission recommendations. Moving on to reports from committees. Other reports from committees of council. Councilwoman Diller.
Yes, this afternoon we had a finance committee, and we had, because of the need for an issue to be resolved, we have an emergency ordinance regarding the Powell Center on the agenda tonight.
Thank you, Councilwoman. Councilwoman Retta?
Yes, last week we had a land use meeting, and we had a couple nice hot topics, and here we are today.
Thank you. And from the land use, we understood that one of the ordinances is going to be tabled tonight.
Correct.
Thank you. Any other announcements from committees? I'm sorry. Okay. Sorry, Councilman Bell. Didn't see you in the peripheral.
Thank you. This afternoon, our Council Public Safety Committee met, and we had the Vice President of Deltek Terry Campus, Dan Simpson, attend, as well as Chris Hainsworth, the paramedic education program manager. They made an excellent presentation and gave us a paramedic education overview. Very informative. We learned a lot, and a lot of good interaction with council. And also we had a update on current major law enforcement activity in Newcastle County by our county police command.
Thank you, Councilman Bell. Any other reports from committees? We did have an executive committee meeting today in which we went into executive session to discuss pending litigation within the county, and then we came out of that executive session and voted in public and made recommendations at that executive committee. Any other reports from any other committees? Moving on to the consent calendar. Are there any items on the consent calendar which any council member would like removed? Is there anyone from the public who wishes an item to be removed from the consent calendar? Okay. Do we need to read in the consent calendar?
Second.
Oh, I'm sorry. Excuse me. I think we'll need to have a motion to approve the consent calendar. Is there a second?
So moved. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Madam Clerk, please proceed with the reading of the consent calendar.
Resolution 11016, plan of Ironside Crossing, Pencator 100, north side of Welsh Track Road, opposite Ironside Road. Proposes a 20-lot townhouse urban space plan, workforce housing development, risk zoning. Resolution 11017, to amend the declaration for property known as a portion of tax parcel number 10039-00002.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Can you please call the roll on the consent calendar?
Mr. Bell.
Yes.
Mr. Cartier.
Yes.
Ms. Diller.
Yes.
Mr. Collins.
Yes.
Mr. Patrick.
Yes.
Mr.
Kovac.
Yes.
Mr. Powers.
Yes.
Mr. Retta.
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon.
Yes.
Mr. Smiley.
Yes.
Mr. Street.
Yes.
Mr. Tackett.
Yes.
Mr. Weiner.
Yes.
Mr. President, the roll call is 13 yes.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Moving on to the consent calendar is passed. Moving on to presentations. Does any member of council wish to make a presentation tonight? Moving on to any other resolutions that were removed from the consent calendar. Madam Clerk, I do not have any that were removed. All right, moving on to ordinances. We have ordinance number 11-007. Mr. Hollins.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that ordinance number 11-007 be read by title only and placed before council for its consideration and adoption.
Second.
Ordinance 11-007, amend the pay plan rates of pay for non-union classified service employees and adopt the class specifications of special services programs manager.
Thank you, Mr. Hollins. The floor is yours.
Thank you, Mr. President. This is a case where we have one of our employees in special services who asked to have the position that he's currently serving in to be evaluated, which is part of the county's policies to have any employee who feels that they deserve an upgrade. They can appeal to that process. This particular position was, in fact, part of that process considered by the Human Resources Board. Human Resources Board did an evaluation of the position, and they agreed that the duties and responsibilities of this particular position is commensurate with the pay grade 28. The person in this position is currently in a pay grade 26, and with this ordinance, we would show our support of the recommendation from the Human Resources Board by elevating this particular position to a pay grade 28, which is a special services program manager.
Thank you, Councilman Hollins. Are there any questions from council? Any questions or comments from members of council? Seeing none, are there any questions and comments from the public? Seeing none, I'll close the floor to the public. Madam Clerk, please call the roll on ordinance number 11-007.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Cartier?
Yes.
Miller?
Yes.
Mr. Holland?
Yes.
Mr. Patrick?
Yes.
Mr. Kovac?
Yes.
Mr. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Veda?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Weiner?
Yes.
Okay, roll call, 13 yes.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. The ordinance 11-007 is approved. Moving on to ordinance 11-008, Mr. Bell.
Thank you. I move that ordinance 11-008 be read by title only and placed before council for consideration to table.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Is this substitute number one?
I have a substitute.
Substitute number one.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry, Councilman okay. Bell. I ask that we correct the record to reflect that it's substitute one to ordinance 11-008.
That is correct. Point of order. Should we go through the process of voting again so that it's
yes, we should.
Substitute one?
Yes, we should. So if you could so move.
Not a problem. I move that ordinance substitute number one to ordinance 11-008 be read by title only, placed before council for consideration to table.
Second.
Substitute number one to ordinance 11-008 to abate penalty on 828 Frenchtown Road, tax parcel number 10024-00047.
Thank you. Councilman Bell?
Motion.
Motion to table.
Motion to table.
We have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 All right. Substitute 1 to Ordinance 11-008 is tabled. Moving on to Ordinance 11-009, Councilman Bell, Councilman Street.
Yes, Mr. President, I move that ordinance number 11-009 be read by title only and placed before council for its consideration and adoption.
Second.
Ordinance 11-009 amend the grants budget appropriate $30,720 to sleep tasers.
Yes, Mr. President, and I was a bit remiss this afternoon because I did not present the full scope of this grant, what this grant does. Is it provides for the purchase and extended warranty for tasers, cartridges, and holsters for tasers. Now, one of the questions that was raised about the initial or one of the major purchases of tasers was whether or not we were going to be maintaining them. We were going to be able to maintain them. This grant will help us significantly with that, with the extended warranty, and it also brings us to a total of a little over 300 tasers, and all of our officers up to the rank of sergeant will have tasers.
Thank you very much, Councilman Street. Any member of council have any questions or comments on the ordinance? Seeing none, open the floor up to the public for questions or comments on ordinance 11-009. Seeing none, I'll close the floor to the public. Madam Clerk, please call the roll on ordinance number 11-009.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Cartier?
Yes.
Dillard?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Mr. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Kovac?
Yes.
Mr. Powers?
Yes.
God bless.
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Weiner?
Yes.
Mr. President, the roll call bills 13, yes.
Thank you very much, Madam Clerk. Ordinance number 11-009 is approved. Moving on to ordinance 11-010. Councilwoman Kilpatrick.
Yes, I move that ordinance 11-010 be read by title only and placed before council for its consideration and adoption.
Second.
Ordinance 11010, authorizing the abatement of Newcastle County real property taxes and penalties on property of Ashok Carr and Elizabeth Bragg, located at 920 Old Wilmington Road.
Thank you. Councilman Kilpatrick?
Mr. President, basically this is a clerical error made by Newcastle County. The constituent had two parcels. He combined them, did all of the necessary paperwork, and for some reason it never made it over to Department of Finance, and we continue to overcharge him his taxes.
Thank you, Councilwoman Kilpatrick. Any questions or comments from council? Seeing none, any questions or comments from the public? Seeing none, close the floor to the public. Madam Clerk, please call the roll on ordinance number 11-010.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Cartier?
Yes.
Mr. Taylor?
Yes.
Mr. Holland?
Yes.
Mr. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Kovac?
Yes.
Mr. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Retta?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr.
Wyman? Yes.
Present the roll call, yes, 13.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Ordinance number 11-010 is approved. Moving on to ordinance number 11-045. Actually, it should be 10-045. Councilman Smiley?
Yes, Mr. President. I would request that ordinance 10-045 be read by title only and placed before council for its consideration.
Second.
Ordinance 10-045, revised zoning map. Newcastle 100, East Side Bear, Christiana Road, North Side, Pulaski Highway, US 40, opposite Songsmith Drive and west of SR 1, 31.935 acres from OR Office Regional to CR Commercial Regional.
Councilman Smiley.
Yes, I would request council's consideration to table ordinance 10-045, and in the spirit of openness and transparency, I'd like to just go on the record that it's my intent to lift this from the table and vote it at the next council meeting on the 22nd.
Thank you, Councilman Smiley. The motion has been made.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Ordinance number 10-045 has been tabled with the councilman's expressed intent of running the ordinance at the February 22nd meeting. Moving on to ordinance 10-090, Councilman Cartier.
Yes, Mr. President, members of council, I'd like ordinance number 10-090 to be read by title only and placed before council for its consideration and adoption.
Second.
Ordinance 10-090, revised zoning map, bringing 100 East Side River Road north of Gore Avenue and south of both Government Lane and Riverside Drive, 11.03 acres from S Suburban to ST Suburban transition and to amend the 2007 comprehensive plan update consistent therewith.
Thank you very much, Madam Clerk. Councilman Cartier.
Yes, Mr. President, members of council, the Milton and Haiti Kutz home is a long-standing nursing home care facility in my district in the Brandywine 100. It services a lot of folks in the Brandywine 100 area. And with this ordinance, they have an exploratory plan that they propose to intensify the development on the site, which is 11 acres, to allow the construction in two phases of additional facilities for assisted living on the site of the, their 11-acre site. And I want to let members of council know that the, I think the attorney for the applicant is here, and I'd like her to make a few comments, and also to let you know that we had a quite well-advertised and extensive community meeting process. And I received virtually no complaints from the surrounding community, and whatever questions were asked were fielded and answered by the county and the applicant. So I can tell you that the community supported this and raised no real objections. And with that, I'd like the applicant's attorney to come and make a short presentation.
Thank you very much. Could you please step up to the podium and state your name and representation for the record, please?
Sure. My name is Pam Scott. I'm here on behalf of the Hattie and Milton Kutz home. We were here at the Land Use Committee meeting last week and made our presentation. This is, as Councilman Cartier indicated, this is a rezoning 11-acre parcel of land located in Brandywine 100 on River Road. There is currently a 90-bed skilled nursing care facility on this property, and what the Kutz home would like to do is to add an assisted living component to this to add another 66 units on the site. It would be in two phases, as Councilman Cartier indicated. And we are asking for rezoning from S, which is currently zoned, which does permit the use, but we're asking to rezone to ST because of the Balkan area requirements that we need to be able to meet in connection with the proposal. We would not be changing access to the site. We would use currently existing access ways. There is no significant traffic generated by this particular use. We did receive a positive recommendation from the Land Use Department and the Planning Board at their business meeting. They found that the use is, although not consistent with the comp plan, and we will need to amend the comp plan, the Land Use Department and Planning Board indicated that an amendment was necessary anyway because of the current uses in the area. We're consistent with the character of the neighborhood. There is a lot of high-density residential development surrounding us, as well as some other institutional uses. What we're proposing is consistent with the zoning and use of nearby properties, and that the suitability of the property for the proposed use, it works very well for us. We have 11 acres there. At the end of the day, when our project is completed, we will still have about 6 acres of open area associated with this project. And I would submit to you that the effect on nearby properties is minimal. As I said, there's very little traffic that will be generated by this use. There wasn't even enough to require that we prepare a traffic study for the project. We will be using existing accesses in the area. And as Councilman Cartier indicated, we did have a meeting with the community early on in the project, in the process, and had no significant concerns expressed when we met with them. And I'm certainly happy to answer any questions you might have.
Any member of council have questions or comments? Councilman Cartier?
I just have a comment. You know, this council has been apprised of through various meetings in our comprehensive plan process, which we are adopting a new in the midst of a new process. This county is an aging county, in particular the Brandywine 100. We have a lot of folks who have been in the Brandywine 100 for many, many, many years, are now aging and need these kind of facilities. So I feel that this is a timely rezoning with a project that has no real, you know, people are fairly supportive of, actually, given the reality of the dearth of assisted living facilities as we our county ages. And I just want to applaud the, you know, the applicant and the team that brought this forward. They did an excellent job with it, and it's something I'm very happy to support tonight.
Thank you, Councilman Cartier. Let me just say I was pleased to be present at the presentation to the community. I know there's a lot of sensitive issues around there. There's some drainage problems that are currently existing. Councilwoman Kirkpatrick is familiar with in and around the area, and I understand that those drainage issues are actually to the surrounding areas are going to be improved through this project. Is that correct?
Yes, we will alleviate many of the concerns that are currently in effect when we do our development.
And the other concern was that this project is in the middle of or right adjacent to a parkland.
Yes.
And residential community, and the access to the construction project is going to be through a temporary road that will neither get it go through residential community or the parkland. Is that correct?
Correct. We have talked to the county special services department because one of the concerns that was expressed when we met with the community was having a lot of construction traffic on River Road, and River Road is not a very wide road, and there are residential dwelling units on both sides of it. And in talking to the county, we asked whether we would be able to provide construction access to the site on the opposite side of the park from Governor Prince Boulevard, and thereby avoid having to use River Road at all for construction vehicles. And the county was happy to say that they would work with us and do that. So that's what we've told the residents we will be able to do.
Thank you very much. Any questions from council? Councilman Weiner?
A comment: the park, the county park around there, used to be the Camp JCC. I worked there as a counselor. I have had friends and family members at the Kutz home, and I'm pleased to, I'm very supportive of this project. I'm pleased that the entrance to what used to be Sellers Estate will be able to be used as an entrance to this project, and that the historic pillars at the River Road entrance on the entranceway to the park will be preserved.
Thank you very much. Any other questions or comments from council members? Seeing none, thank you very much, Ms. Scott. Any other questions or comments of the sponsor or Councilman Cartier?
We will need to conduct a poll since it is a rezoning before council member casts a vote, correct?
Right.
Maybe we should have some legal instruction about that from...
Yeah, we'll, after we get comments from the public, we'll... Any other comments from the public concerning this ordinance? Seeing none. As the councilman pointed out, as this is a rezoning ordinance, this requires a poll vote, and no specific instruction needed from council other than council members will be providing an explanation along with their vote. Madam Clerk, could you please poll council?
Mr. Bell.
Yes, Madam Clerk, I'll be voting in the affirmative based upon the positive recommendations of both the Department of Land Use and the Planning Board.
Cartier.
Yes, I will be voting yes on the rezoning ordinance based on the positive review of the Newcastle County Planning Board and the positive review for the proposed rezoning and subsequent use by our Newcastle County Land Use Department.
Ms. Miller.
I will be voting yes on the rezoning based on the positive recommendation of the Planning Board and our Land Use Department.
Mr. Hollins.
Yes, Madam Chair. I will be supporting the recommendations from the Planning Department and the Planning Board and voting in the affirmative.
Ms. Kilpatrick.
Yes, I will be voting in the affirmative on the recommendation of the Department of Land Use and the Planning Board.
I will be voting yes based on the positive recommendation of both the Planning Board and the Land Use Department.
Mr. Powers.
I'll be voting yes by the recommendation from the Planning Board and the Land Use Department.
I'll be voting yes in agreement with land use, and I don't think there's any adverse impact on the neighborhood.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes, I'll also be voting yes in affirmative because of the agreement with the land use and the planning board's decisions.
Mr. Smiley?
Yeah, I will be voting yes based on the positive recommendation of the land use department.
Mr. Street?
Yes, based on the recommendation from the department and the need for the very, very serious service that they provide in the community.
Mr. Tackett?
I'll be supporting the land use's recommendation and issuing a positive vote for this.
I will be voting in the affirmative based upon the positive recommendation with the Land Use Department and the Planning Board and the consistency with community character.
Madam Clerk, can you please call the roll on ordinance number 10-090? Well, go ahead and call the roll.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Cartier?
Yes.
Ms. Diller?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Mr. Patrick?
Yes.
Mr. Kovac?
Yes.
Mr. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Retta?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes again.
Mr. Street?
I already said yes.
Mr. Tackett?
No, you didn't. It's a surprise, yes.
Mr. Weiner?
Yes.
Thank you very much, Madam Clerk. First, we poll the council, and then we actually have to officially call the roll. It seems a little awkward. That's the procedure that's set up. Moving on to ordinance number 10-125, Councilman Smiley.
And just for the record, before we get into it, we consolidated that a while back, so I guess we have a lot of them we have to go in that are now illegal, so we'll have to look at that. Mr. President, I would request that ordinance 10-125 be read by title only and placed before council for its consideration.
Second.
Ordinance 10-125 to amend Newcastle County Code Chapter 2, the Code of Ethics regarding statements of financial interests.
Thank you very much, Councilman Smiley.
Yes, Mr. President. First, I'd like to state that Ordinance 10-125 and 126 are as a result of public meetings that were conducted by the Ethics Commission over a period of time and were attended by several council members who had input into this. Some of those council members, including myself, Councilman Tackett was there, and current County Executive Paul Clark when he was President of Council. So that's how they came about. For 10-125, for clarification purposes, I'll just read the synopsis.
The addition of the Newcastle County Financial Advisory Council and the Newcastle County Audit Committee to the list of annual filers in Section 2.03106 was suggested by members of council and the commission. So the members of these commissions are councils are now required to file the statement of financial interest upon adoption. The amendment of Section 2.03.107 makes electronic filing the standard for submission of statement of financial interest. All county employees and elected officials and almost all appointed officials who are required to file the statement and have access to computers. However, the amendment permits the commission to accept paper filing when warranted. So if someone has a problem filing with the computer, all they need to do is contact the Ethics Commission. You can either go over and they'll help you file electronically, or you can get the approval to file a hard copy. This amendment will lessen the cost of filing, increase efficiency, eliminate deficiencies in filing such as omitting answers to one or more questions, and make review of submitted statement more legible for the commission and the public. That last part, I think, was added as a result of their trying to read mine for the last 6 years. That's it.
Thank you, Councilman Smiley. Any questions from council? Seeing none, any questions from the public? I'll close the floor to the public. Madam Clerk, please call the roll on ordinance number 10-125.
Mr. Ballard?
Yes.
Mr. Cartier?
Yes.
Mr. Diller?
Yes.
Mr. Collins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Kovac?
Yes.
Mr. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Retta?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Weiner?
Yes.
Mr. President, roll call, we have 15 yes.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Ordinance number 10-125 is approved. Moving on to ordinance 10-126, Councilman Smiley, back
yes,
to you.
Mr. President, I request that ordinance number 10-126 be read by title only and placed before council for its consideration.
Second.
Ordinance 10-126 to amend Newcastle County Code Chapter 2, the Code of Ethics regarding the Newcastle County Ethics Commission powers, investigations, and sanctions.
Councilman Smiley.
Yes, Mr. President. Let's just say this makes a lot of changes to the ethics code to basically bring it in line. It makes corrections and just changes language as far as investigation procedures and such. I will state again, the only thing I have a problem with is our commission members may participate in public meetings by teleconference in accordance with state law. I don't care for that. Council agreed not to do it. However, I do recognize that in their infinite wisdom, the Attorney General's office has deemed it legal. Therefore, I will be supporting this ordinance that I'm bringing forward.
Thank you, Councilman Smiley. Any questions or comments from members of council? Seeing none, any questions or comments from the public on the ordinance? Seeing none, close the floor to questions from the public. Madam Clerk, please call the roll on ordinance number 10-126.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Cartier?
Yes.
Mr. Diller?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Kovac?
Yes.
Mr. Power?
Yes.
Mr. Retta?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Weiner?
Yes.
Mr. President, roll call, bill 13, yes.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Ordinance number 10-126 is approved. Moving to time-sensitive resolutions. Ordinance number 11-018, Councilman Kovac, Councilman Weiner, Councilman Cartier. Councilman Weiner, Cartier, care to introduce this one, or do you want me to take it? All right, thank you very much. This is my pleasure to introduce this resolution congratulating the Boy Scout will ask this to be read into the record by the clerk, by title only.
Second.
Resolution 11018, congratulating Joaquin Leonidas Martinez Pena for achieving the rank of Eagle Scout.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. As we all recognize, the achievement of an Eagle Scout is a significant achievement in scouting, as our guest can testify to in the back. I assume all of you are going to obtain Eagle, right? Right? All right. Come on, a little more nodding. There we go. And it's really it's really my honor to be able to bring forth this resolution on behalf of the council, in behalf of all our council members, to take the time to recognize the significant achievement in Boy Scouts that is earning the rank of Eagle.
and I move that I would encourage all my council members to ask any questions of those young gentlemen in the back if they had any questions about the accomplishment that is earning Eagle Scout. Any questions or comments from council members? Any questions from the public? Any testimonials from our Boy Scouts? Hearing none, I'll close the floor to comments. Madam Clerk, can you please call the roll on Ordinance Number 11-018?
Point of information,
Resolution
18. Thank you.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Cartier?
Yes.
Mr. Diller?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Kovac?
Yes.
Mr. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Vetta?
Yes.
Mr. Shelton?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr.
Yes. Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Lamb?
Yes.
Thank you, Madam Clerk.
Mr. President?
Yes, Councilman Powers.
11 or 10?
What should I say?
The way it's written on here.
Okay.
Just wanted to make sure.
Thank you. The resolution is 11-018. Thank you, Councilman Powers. Moving on to the consideration of emergency ordinances. My understanding that we do indeed have one of those emergency ordinances tonight under item K, which will be presented by President Pro Tem Hollins. Councilman Hollins, do you wish to move the ordinance?
Yes, Mr. President. Thank you very much. I move that emergency ordinance number 11-001 be read by title only and placed before council for its consideration and adoption.
Second.
Emergency ordinance 11-001, amend the annual operating budget, revised special services.
Thank you very much, Madam Clerk. Councilman Hollins, before I yield the floor, I just want to announce, as we had discussed, that I am planning to offer an amendment to the emergency ordinance that you're offering today. Only to modify the dollar amount, but I will ask if you'd like to discuss the overall ordinance first before we get into the proposed amendment.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. First of all, let me just say the protocol for getting here as an emergency ordinance. This ordinance was first introduced, and because of our system and saving funds, once the ordinance is placed on the table, it is removed completely from the agenda. The auditor was complete with his auditing process in a timely fashion that we could not bring it back because it had not been advertised. In that case, we had to determine if there was an emergency status here to bring it back as an emergency status, which was one way to do it. Another way to do it would have been to suspend the rules and go through a complicated kind of a process. I think it was agreed upon by myself as a sponsor as well as the council to council and the county attorney that this particular ordinance meets the standards of an emergency. What this ordinance would provide is to allocate $100,001 to the Delmarva Power Company in order that the PAL centers will continue to operate with heat and lighting. As most council members know, there's a danger that Delmarva will in fact cut off the power to the PAL centers. If not, this ordinance does not pass. It is part of an agreement that has been negotiated with PAL. The real concern I have here is the amount of programming that is currently being held at the PAL Center, which represents more than 3,456 adults that are engaged in county programs, as well as 1,016 kids that are engaged in county programs during this winter season through leagues and a lending library at the Garfield Park location. And the lending library at the Garfield Park is really a lifeline of information for the folk who live in the Garfield Park area, and we realize now that this area is in critical need of a full library. However, now the lending library is serving until we can get to a point in time where we can actually put them up on the schedule to make certain that those residents are treated fairly equally. These services are critical to the added value of the quality of life of these Newcastle County residents. But in addition to our programs that are offered at the PAL centers, the PAL programs also include a number of at-risk youth where the PAL centers are their only place to go for refuge and opportunities to have some stabilization in their life, and PAL Center provides that. Specifically, they provide that in the neighborhood of Garfield Park. In addition to our programs, in addition to the programs provided by PAL,
there are a number of community agencies that depend upon PAL to lease their facilities for all kinds of goodwill in the neighborhood. Just as recent as this past week, after the first article appeared about the threat to closing of the PAL, Delta Sigma Theta reached out to me to ask questions about PAL and the fact that in early March they do have a lease contract with PAL to have a program at the PAL Center. To further complicate matters, aside from what it does to the citizens of Newcastle County, I think it would be irresponsible to allow the lights to be shut off in any of these PAL facilities in the dead of winter, when in fact we would definitely jeopardize the integrity of the buildings there, which we own, and likely, more than likely, the pipes there will freeze and burst, and I think it would cost us far more than the $100,001 that we're planning to support the PAL centers through the payment of the bill to Delmarva. This money does not go directly to PAL. It goes to Delmarva Power. It has been negotiated with Delmarva, and that is the extent tonight of that negotiation. Furthermore, Mr. President, you offered today to have someone from Delmarva to come to speak to this issue. I was in touch with Glenn Moore, who's the regional VP of Delmarva Power, as was the county attorney this afternoon after our meeting. Mr. Moore is currently in Washington, D.C., but he said if he were here, it would violate Delmarva's policy to have any representation from Delmarva to come to a public forum to discuss a private matter such as Delmarva's contract. And in this case, it's a private matter being discussed by a third party because it is PAL who has the contract with Delmarva Power. So that's not something we're able to do this evening, but I can tell you that since the beginning of this realization by this government that the PAL Center was in fact having some difficulty with their funding, we have been very concerned to the extent that before we considered even paying this payment to the PAL Center's board and this county government agreed that we would have an audit of the PAL Center before we go forward to move forward to in fact pay this bill. That audit has been complete by our auditor. Our auditor's audit has revealed that there are significant challenges to the PAL Center. That does not come as any surprise to any of the council members that are sitting here tonight. This has been an ongoing challenge. PAL has been to this county government for over a year and a half, suggesting to us that we need to renegotiate the contract with PAL. I think that going forward, what we have agreed to do, council members as well as the general manager of the Community Services Department, that we would, in fact, sit down, take an assessment of all the programs that we have at PAL during this winter month and all the programs that we have committed to going forward to spring. That is the second leg of the concern here, I think, as part of our strategic planning. But tonight, we do not have the time to renegotiate this particular concern with Delmarva. We have reached that agreement through a lot of communicating with Delmarva. I believe Delmarva has been very fair to Newcastle County government, and I believe our representation during these negotiations has been very adequate. Delmarva has been patient with us, and we appreciate that. And now we're at a point in time that if we don't step up to what I believe is our commitment to the citizens of this county, Delmarva is going to click the switch. And once that happens, I believe that we have done a disservice to all of the people that participate in this Garfield Park program, PAL, as well as the Hocasin PAL. I would just like to point out to council that the ordinance that we are considering tonight is the one that was on your desk when you came in this evening. There has been another ordinance floating around, but we made some amendments to that particular ordinance as it was suggested by the council to council as well as the county auditor. I would just read to you section 1 on the second page of the ordinance at the top of the page, which states there is an imminent emergency to the health and welfare of county citizens, and that failure to pay a utility bill for the PAL centers could result in damages to the building due to frozen pipes and or closure of the facility due to lack of heat. And section 4, right down the page, just before the middle of the page, states, this ordinance shall become effective immediately upon the date of its adoption by county council and automatically repeal on the 61st day or upon repeal and adoption of an ordinance in the regular course. This is just simply the language that is used for an emergency ordinance, and it's appropriate to have it here on this particular ordinance since the status has changed from the regular course to an emergency ordinance. That's all I have at this point, Mr. President. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Councilman Hollins. Councilman Street, Councilman Smiley.
Thank you for the compliment. I'm not sure he appreciates it, but I do. I just wish I was wearing loafers. I want to speak on this. First, I want to thank County Attorney Greg Wilson for all his hard work and working with Delmarva on this. I'm going to support this. I want to make it very clear. I'm supporting this despite my lack of a relationship with members on the PAL board and issues that I have had and continue to have with certain members of the PAL board. For me, this is not about the PAL board. It's not about how they've been operating. For me, it's not even about the adult programs over there. It's about the kids. It's about them having a safe place to go. It's about them having an environment during these winter months to be able to go inside and be able to play safely, have adults there, have police there as figures to look up to. To reduce this amount or vote it down will effectively turn that switch off. Now, accusation was made, maybe there's some political influence. Well, I'm going to tell you, for me, there is some political influence. And I'm not looking for any sympathy, I'm not looking for any tears. And to look at my physique, you wouldn't believe this. But as a child, many times, the only meal I got was the free lunch program at school. So do I feel political motivation and a bond with those children? You betcha you know what I do. And I believe we need to support this to help these children.
Thank you very much, Councilman Smiley. At this point, I'm going to offer my amendment to the emergency resolution, which would be to cut the amount that has been offered, proposed to be offered directly to Delmarva Power from $101,620 down to $50,000. And the reason for this amendment and the reason for my proposal is this is truly an emergency amendment. And I think I agree and concur with my fellow council members that we all understand that we cannot allow the lights to be turned out in the Powell Center at this time. We have so many children and families that rely on the critical care that is provided by that Powell Center. But let's keep it truly an emergency amendment that provides what's needed for the next month, not the next few months. If we need to come back with another emergency ordinance in another month, so be it. But I think we owe it not only to the children of those facilities, but the rest of our constituents, the balance, the fairness to them, by committing a significant chunk of money, $100,000, until we get some better answers in the short term. So my proposal is to try to reach a middle ground to allow the PAL to operate, to keep those lights on, to provide $50,000, which is roughly equal to the $20,000 ongoing electric cost per month, in addition to about 20% of the outstanding amount owed. And that's how I arrived at the $50,000 amount. Councilman Hollins,
I'm waiting for you to get a second, Mr. Okay. President.
Thank you.
Second.
My position regarding your motion, Mr. President, is unfair, untimely, undermines all of the negotiations that have gone on for more than a year, long before you came. I respectfully disagree with your motion. It cannot be implemented. Essentially, what your motion would do is say to Delmarva that we do not agree with the arrangement and the negotiation that we have agreed to long before you came. So tonight, to assume that we can start all over again from day one, I think you would do yourself and this body and constituents a courtesy if you were not to vote. But to suggest that council now should consider your motion with the limited amount of knowledge you have, with all that we've tried to bring you up to speed on, this position didn't start when you got here. This is a position that has been going on, ongoing, ongoing. I think that to set tonight and say that you really support these kids, you support the need of the lights, and then to introduce an amendment suggesting that we as council can cut the agreement in half tonight and assume or expect even Delmarva to agree with that is pretty naive. When I spoke to the vice president this afternoon and discussed some of that, and the county attorney would attest to the same thing, because he also called
Glenn Moore, we have an agreement on the table. The agreement with Delmarva is that the county government would pay the $100,001 and the lights will remain on. If, in fact, you were to offer another agreement, perhaps we could go back into negotiation to discuss or have another negotiating with Delmarva to $50,000. Meanwhile, while we're negotiating, the lights will still go off, the heat will still go off, and Delmarva would come back perhaps and take the $50,000 and give us a couple more weeks, and then we would start negotiating all over again, and we'll end up paying Delmarva by the week, I guess, as we have weekly negotiations. These negotiations that we're considered that have been done by our staff are negotiations that have been ongoing. There is no reason at this 11th hour to suggest that an amendment to cut, to reduce in half the agreement that we already have would be acceptable. You have no way of knowing that would be acceptable. You're putting everything here at risk if this motion were to pass. And I would encourage council members not to accept this motion at this 11th hour.
Thank you, Councilman Hollins. I'll respond briefly as I can to that. This is an emergency ordinance. By its very nature, it's 11th hour. If it had been brought before the council and voted on earlier, I would have made a similar amendment then. I appreciate your perspective that this has been going on a significant amount of time. And that's actually what I find particularly troubling about this emergency ordinance that's now addressing a situation, by your very own words, has been going on a very long time. Now, maybe it might be naive to think that we should offer a short-term solution that holds both the entity accountable and us accountable for not outlaying a significant amount of funds to an operation that we heard today from an auditor was not a going concern. But to represent our constituents in the best possible manner, we need to do so in the most fiscally prudent manner possible. And that is, make sure that the lights stay on for a short amount of time in dealing with this emergency situation. If Delmarva Power had been here today, they would have been able to respond not regarding a third-party bill, but their openness and acceptance or not acceptance of a proposed change in the amount. And that is why I offered them the courtesy of being here before I offered my amendment. I understand that they couldn't make it. It was short notice. It's an emergency ordinance. We all understand that. But to suggest that approaching this matter in a more fiscally conservative method is naive or irresponsible is missing the point. If this has been going on for so very long, as he mentioned, we should have addressed this some time ago. And if we limit the amount that is paid, we will be forced to address it immediately, not in a couple months. We'll be forced to address it next month and the month after until we resolve the problem and do so in a rational, responsible basis.
Mr. President, if I may, when I said it's been going on for a long time, that does not suggest that we wasn't trying to find some resolution. It means that this problem has been ongoing with the shortfall in financing for PAL. We have finally come to some resolution tonight. We didn't come with a resolution the same time we found out that they were having financial difficulties. This is an emergency deemed because of the actions of Delmarva that has taken us this amount of time to get here. Government doesn't work quite that fast. Government doesn't respond in the manner that maybe you're accustomed or think it should. It takes this amount of time for us to assess the program. It also took an amount of time, which I feel is responsible for this government. They have the audit to go in to take a look at the books. So the amount of time that it's taken is an amount of time that was necessary to get us even to this point. I don't think it's necessary to take any more time, as you're suggesting tonight, because we recognize the seriousness of this particular situation. Now, I don't mean to be disrespectful to you in terms of how long you've been here, but the fact of the matter is we've been working toward a resolution for a very long time. Delmarva being here tonight, as I mentioned to you earlier, Delmarva stated they would not be here tonight to discuss publicly this particular bill or any bill for anyone else that is a public forum. They just wouldn't be here. The same way you're continuing to suggest that Delmarva needs to be here is the same manner, I think, in which you are thinking that Delmarva is going to accept half of the payment and somehow we can go on and go back and renegotiate with Delmarva, where you have no contact with Delmarva whatsoever. to make that decision here tonight, so you're going on what you would like to see happen, and we're going on what we know can happen because we've done that. So it's not about the $50,000 that you are that concerned about. It is about the service that we provide to the residents of Newcastle County. You may even take a cavalier attitude because you may not be concerned about some people in some parts of this county, particularly in Garfield Park, where there is a lending library there, where there are kids there that was being fed today who didn't have another place to get a meal. So I'm talking about our responsibility to people, not just about counting beans and not being conservative and not being liberal. It's about doing what's right to the people that have the most need in this county, and that's what I'm here to support. And I encourage, again, my colleagues not to support your amendment.
Thank you, Councilman
Holland.
I appreciate that. I'm just trying to weigh my words because I don't think we needed to add insulting words like cavalier attitude into this discussion. But if you're going to go there, I would like to hear the history of these negotiations, if you could explain this long history of negotiations, because I know that there has not been a long history of negotiations, that there was back and forth, give and take, a counter proposal, another proposal, an attempt to reach a financially viable solution that would have been lower than this. As a matter of fact, I understand that this is the first position that the county offered, was to go pay this amount. And you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I have that on pretty good understanding that this was the county's first offer. And we don't need to go there. We don't need to discuss that. But don't accuse me of having a cavalier attitude towards people in need when this issue has been languishing out there for months. We have a limited amount of capital resources in this county. And if we take this $100,000 and put it towards a concern, there is no guarantee that that operation could be running past March. And we just wasted $50,000 that we could have put towards other programs that provide critical care, services, need, food, shelter, that we need to spend throughout this county. So what I'm asking and my proposal is not to somehow hamstring the operation, but make sure that we're making the most responsible decision we can make with a limited amount of money in the county. If a lesser amount had been proposed, it could have been accepted. It was not. I am here not to, because I'm a new guy, to sit in the back of the room and be quiet. I'm here to represent the entire constituency of the entire Newcastle County in their best interest. And when we have limited amount of resources and we're proposing an emergency ordinance, we should use the most limited amount of those resources that we can to address that specific need in the matter before us. And to do so and to bargain out months and months in advance is irresponsible. And so my proposal is concerned about using those resources to address the serious concerns we have in the county in the most responsible manner possible.
Let me just apologize publicly, Mr. President, if you feel that somehow I have insulted you or offended you with the comment that I made. It certainly was not my intent to offend you, and I'll just rest my case on this issue and yield to other members of council.
Thank you. I appreciate that, Councilman Holmes. Councilman Smiley.
Yeah. I just want to say, number one, I happen to know that for a good year, the board and the officers of PAL have been trying to work with community services to resolve the issue of what they pay to use this. So it has been going on for a long while. Not the utility bill, but they're working to remain financially viable for a good year, if not more. Further step, I consider myself fiscally responsible. I've been here 6 years. And I have fought tooth and nail and brought forward changes to council's budget, executive. For a long while, I was known as the one that helped kill the ice cream festival. All right, so I consider myself fiscally responsible. I think this is fiscally responsible. It's fiscally responsible. We have people in need. And with all due respect to the budget, and this isn't a shot at you, but because the state legislature deemed what they did and they had the power, we just spent $500,000 of taxpayer money so people over 18 could vote. I don't think it's too much to ask that we spend over $100,000 to help those under 18 be able to eat and have a safe place to play for a few months.
Thank you, Councilman Smiley. Councilman Street.
I'm saddened by the fact that
you're playing partisan
political football with my children. I wouldn't do that to anybody else's children, and I don't appreciate certain individuals doing it with my children. Second, there's no foundation for your proposal. You have not said you have any discussion with Delmarva. There's no agreement with Delmarva that they will accept one-third of the payment. There's like, we have counsel, seasoned counsel, who have negotiated something on our behalf, on behalf of PAL, and now we have two officers of the court to come along and say we can do better, but they haven't had a conversation with anybody. That's irresponsible. To go from less than a third of what we know full well is a total amount due. So I think the proposal is irresponsible. And, you know, y'all want to play partisan politics with children and where they eat and where they obtain knowledge, and maybe when you get finished with your motion, I'll make a motion to pay the whole 165.
Councilwoman Kilpatrick?
First of all, this being an emergency ordinance, I think, is part of the county rules. It's not necessarily that it was an emergency ordinance brought before us this very moment. This was brought before us weeks and weeks ago, but because of tabling and how the county rules play out, this had to be brought back as an emergency ordinance. Today, we asked the county attorney if he would go and negotiate something for us, and we put good faith in him that he will do what he's being asked to do. Months and months ago, this same county attorney was asked to go and help negotiate with PAL, Newcastle County, and Delmarva, and on good faith, he did what this council asked. And to now turn around and undermine what he has done for all of these months, I would say at this point, why are we ever sending the county attorney out to negotiate anything if when he does, and does it as he's requested to do, we turn around and undermine him?
Thank you. Councilman Smiley?
I have a question of council to council. Since the emergency ordinance requires 10 votes to be adopted, would the amendment to the emergency ordinance, which would be an emergency amendment, also require 10 votes? Okay, so it's a simple 7.
There's a separate vote on the amendment.
I understand that. Simple 7. Okay, thank you. Just wanted to clarify.
Councilwoman Diller?
Yes. I really, really, really want to vote against this ordinance. My understanding is that we will be advancing funds to pay for a past bill. That's my understanding. But I guess I have really, really struggled with this the entire finance meeting, indeed the entire day. And I do come down on two issues. One is, we did request that there be some discussion with Delmarva, which the county attorney did do and came back with a number. The second is that we do have children and adults, both in county programs and PAL programs, who use these facilities. And I don't want to see them without services or, you know, having a problem with the building because the heat gets turned off. But I can say this. If I vote for this thing, I will not vote for another penny until I have a plan to move forward. I am just, for 2 years since I've been on this council, the community services meetings have been taken up with this, and there appears to be no movement forward, and I'm tired of it. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilwoman. Councilman Hollins?
Thank you, Mr. President. I understand the concern of Councilwoman Diller, and we are going to move forward after tonight to come forward with a plan to make certain that all of our programs will still be offered to Newcastle County residents. We will then determine if we're in a partnership with PAL or some other entity that can assist us.
But my question to you, Mr. President, since you probably seem to me, correct me if I'm wrong, more concerned about our fiscal responsibility than you are about these other issues that may be secondary to you. But if you're that concerned about the fiscal responsibility of this body, do you have any concern whatsoever about shutting off the power to county facilities in the middle of winter, running the risk and the likelihood of jeopardizing the plumbing system with pipes bursting all over the place and the cost it would take for those kind of repairs? Does that concern you, or is just that it's the fiscal bottom line that is primary to your being here?
Well, Councilman Hollins, that sounds very nice, and it paints a nice, rosy picture.
That's not my intent, Mr. President. It's a question.
Well, it's a question that's loaded, and it's a question that implies that because I care about using financial resources wisely, I don't care about children. But at the end of this, I'll ask you another question, and that is, if we pay Powell's bill, and we pay Delmarva $101,000, can you personally guarantee me, backed up by your interest in your checkbook, that those kids will have a place for the next month? There is no guarantee that I've heard after hearing the audit report, should we pay this $101,000 to Powell, there is absolutely no guarantee that they will be able to operate one other day. There is substantial past due bills in other areas. Their other utilities could conceivably be shut down. We haven't seen a plan that would show continued operation past next month. I'm not being critical of the Powell Board. They have an incredibly difficult mission in incredibly difficult financial times. What I'm talking about is lowering our financial commitment to something that we don't know can even serve its mission. If you could guarantee me that if we give this $101,000, that you will personally guarantee me that the operations of that facility will continue until March, April, May, June, July, that would be a reason to go forward. But we've heard no such guarantees, nor could you, because the audit report we heard today told us that this is not a going concern, which means it can't continue to operate without serious ongoing financial help. And if I take Councilman Diller at her word, which I do, and we don't appropriate any further funding for this facility, all that money could just have been wasted. So what I'm talking about is a reduction by half. Instead of extending the deadline until April, extend the deadline until the end of March. Give them half of what you propose to give them for half the time frame, and really see if we can have a going concern that can address the community needs. We have no guarantee that if we pay money, that we're not ending up wasting it where we could otherwise use that money to benefit the needs of the community and those underserved and left out by our population.
Those are very good answers, Mr. President, to a question I never asked. I simply asked you, what do you feel about the fiscal responsibility in the event that we shut the heat off of these buildings? But I cannot guarantee you that the $100,001 is not going to guarantee you any other amount of money for any other program that we operate. What I can guarantee you, if we don't pay it, these same kids will not be in Powell when the click is switched. That's what I can guarantee you. If we sit here tonight and play these kind of politics and go forward assuming that this is all about some fiscal irresponsibility, I think it's irresponsible. I can guarantee you that if we don't pass this ordinance, the lights will go out.
Mr. President.
Thank you, Councilman Bell.
I sat here and I've listened, and I sat upstairs and I've listened, and I've sat in county council committee meetings for the past couple years and listened to what some of the problems are. We have a very troubled economy that continues to plague and impact the fundraising efforts, abilities, and the success of all nonprofits, including Powell. We heard that in a report this afternoon. Powell has made numerous attempts with community services and its government to renegotiate its contract, its lease contract, the sharing of resources, the operational hours, to divvy up some of the hours so that Powell could benefit from some of the hours that possibly the county is utilizing. Nothing's ever been accomplished on that. There has been no inflationary clause in their contract for building utilities, and we all know what's happened over the past couple years with the economy, and we all know what's happened to the utility bills and how they've gone up. I can't believe that some of the comments made, yes, you were elected and sent here as the council president to represent all citizens of Newcastle County. Well, so is every one of the other 12 council that were elected by their individual districts were sent here to represent not only their district, but the overall good and benefit of all citizens of this county. And I believe that this council is highly responsible. We've tried to weigh in on some of these problems. We spoke this afternoon, and it has not been mentioned, that in committee there was a suggestion that we immediately get together and try to resolve some of the problems that are plaguing not only PAL, but other nonprofits. This is just the tip of the iceberg when you look at some of the funding issues. I have had and will continue to have the highest regard for the executive director and some of the folks at PAL that I've known for years that have served a lifetime of commitment in serving others, our men and women of our police department that have volunteered a countless amount of hours to the police athletic league in serving our communities and our children. And I represent the 12th district. And there's two other council folks sitting here this evening. We all border one another in that Route 9 corridor. That's a very troubled area. And we have fought long and hard to not only get a satellite library at this very PAL center, but to move up the plan, the capital plan in the future, so that a full-time library in that Route 9 corridor can be constructed. We care as much about our citizens who are in our areas who border the Route 9 corridor and the greater Newcastle area as anyone on this council. And when you talk about the will, I would hope that it's the will of every one of us here tonight in this council that we will not only do what's right tonight, but when you talk about guaranteeing in a month from now there's not going to be a problem or will the bills be paid, I will guarantee you one thing as one councilman, and I would hope that everyone else would join suit, and that is the fact that it should be the will of this council to make sure that such vital community services as PAL continue to exist and provide service to others as they've done in the past. I heard nothing this afternoon that referenced mismanagement. In fact, they talked about things like reducing positions, reducing salaries. So we're sitting here tonight debating whether we're going to pay an electric bill that is outstanding, move forward together in a partnership, and resolve the problem. But I think there's a lot of things here that is really undeserved black eye to PAL, to that particular organization, and not rightfully so. So if you want to talk about the will, I would hope it's the will of this council to represent the folks that rely on that Police Athletic League Center and the county services. Let's pay the bill. Let's work out what some of the deficiencies are and problems, and let's move on. But don't play the card back and forth who represents who and who believes what. I believe in every citizen that I represent in my district, and I can tell you many of them live in that greater Newcastle area, and I'm going to vote yes for this ordinance.
Thank you, Councilman Bell. Councilman Street.
And prior to becoming elected, I was the chairman of the Coalition Save Our Children during the desegregation area. And that litigation involved the former Wilmington School District and the former Delaware School District. In the desegregation process, the former Delaware School District lost Dunley School, torn down, storage bins. Rose Hill School closed, made into a community center, which has reduced services because of economic costs. Los Miquedel School was turned into our police station, which we tore down and rebuilt. Nothing left. Only thing left, took Delaware High School, turned it into an elementary school, and it's now a middle school called McCullough. Only thing left in that community is Rose Hill as a community center, and what this county, this government, to its credit, did. Now, we got bath parks. People go walk the dogs and bark and raise hell, do whatever they want. And about talk about that money. I raised sand. We spent over $200,000 for a brand new sewer truck. And for the little bit that we do, and you look at our record and our budget, what else, separate and apart from the libraries, what else do we do specifically for children? And to make this argument about being fiscally responsible, I think it's fiscally irresponsible to deprive a community of the little things that it has left. And that's enough for now.
Thank you. On the amendment?
Well, I'm pretty much done with the amendment. I'm ready to call for a vote. But I do see the county attorney standing there as if he has something to say. I would not want to ignore the fact that he may want to.
On the amendment or something? Okay, thank you. Invite the county attorney to come up.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'll be brief. I just wanted to correct a few parts of the record with regard to dealing with Delmarva. This is not the first time that we've talked to Delmarva about this problem. This is not the first shutoff notice that the PAL got. This came to the attention of the county in August when we obtained the bill, realized how far behind it was. And we've been working with Delmarva since August, or the lights may have gone off long before that. And I certainly understand the spirit of the amendment, and I understand that it's a good idea. The problem is, it's at this point in time, there's no guarantee that that would work. There's no guarantee as to how long the lights might stay on, even if we convince Delmarva that they should accept that. Part of the problem and the reason why this length of time was selected was because government, democracy is great. It's the best system in the world, but it's not fast, as people have pointed out tonight. This council, part of the reason for the delay that we've talked about is that in the spirit of due diligence and transparency, we asked the auditor, both the administration and council, to come together and make sure the auditor reviewed their books, to make sure there was not fraud, waste, or abuse, to make sure that we had a full handle on what the bills were, that there weren't other bills that were going to shut the place down, that the insurance was paid, things like that that are important. And that's what we've done, and the auditor released his report this afternoon. So we are responding as quick as government can respond, but it takes a while to do that. And part of representing county council, it's a wonderful job representing county council, but government doesn't move very quickly. So for county council to react again, it will take 2 weeks before you even get together again. And if you're going to appropriate money, you have to introduce that ordinance unless it's an emergency, and we don't like to call that unless it's truly an emergency. So there's another 2 weeks. So that's a month. So a month has gone by before county council could even take additional action, and that's part of what we've convinced Delmarva to wait during this period of time, because of the time it takes government to consider things properly and to react. And so, unfortunately, getting a month doesn't do us a lot of good. And part of the reason why we selected the time frame and gave them the additional money to keep us till the end of April is, number one, it gets through the winter programs, gets through the sports programs that we have for youth and we have for adults that take place over the winter. It also gives us time to properly consider what direction we go, because council and the county may be at a crossroads of how are we going to address PAL's problems? Are we going to cut back on our programs and allow them to rent the place more? Or are we going to pay more for the programs we have? Those are policy questions that this council, frankly, will not be able to even decide what its position is in the next 30 days. And so that's why we've taken the, or that's why in negotiating I tried to reach enough time for council and for the county to act and to keep the lights on during that period of time. I hope that's helpful.
Thank you.
Okay. Councilman Lawler.
Yeah, may I ask Mr. Wilson a question? Back on January 4th when we talked about this, had you made the offer of $101,000 at that time?
When January 4th, when this
when this was introduced
in front of council.
Yes.
Yes, when it was when this bill was introduced in front of council, that was when we discussed. And of course, it's a contingent upon council approving it. But part of the reason that Delmarva agreed when they set off sent the shutoff notice in January, the early January, to not take action was because we said we would introduce an ordinance which council had to then vote on, and we explained the time that it would take 2 weeks. It had to be introduced another 2 weeks before it's voted on. Then we had a snow day, I believe, and then in deference to some of your questions, it was postponed to allow the auditor to I don't want to attribute that to you, but to allow the auditor to finish, and that's what we finished today. Yeah. So,
thank you. Another question. And I do concur with you. I had encouraged that we wait for the auditor's unfettered audit when we briefed on this on January 4th. And you had, in fact, told us in August the first shutoff notice had come. But was the $101,000 on January 4th the first and only offer that was discussed in negotiations with Delmarva Power?
No, we negotiated with Delmarva at zero for 6 or 8 months.
Mm-hmm.
And in January, we were told we were at the end of the rope, that the decision was coming from higher up, that the lights would have to go out unless we were going to come up with a payment. And that's the figure they demanded to avoid shutoff.
Right. And
that's not the entire bill, as you know.
Yes. And if this body were to approve $50,000 tonight, is it a certainty, as far as you're concerned, that DPNL, a member of our community, would actually shut off the lights, or are you uncertain of the answer?
I think the only thing we can say is we don't know what the answer is, and that's the problem. Suppose they tell me, yes, we're going to shut off the lights, then what do? Do I draw up another bill, introduce it in 2 weeks, and hope in another month you're going to vote on it? That's the problem.
Okay.
They might say yes. Or they might say, yes, we'll give you 4 weeks. Well, 4 weeks doesn't really get us to Councilwoman Diller's question of, let's have a plan.
Okay. Obviously, we're getting into some greater detail here before, and it's tough for all of us to sit at negotiating with table with you. But are you telling us now, and we didn't understand this before, that there was some give and take before you arrived at the $101,000 position?
That was the position that they demanded. So in some ways, that's accurate because that's what they demanded. But what's not accurate, or to the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey would say, was we had kept the lights on since August with repeated.
With the shutoff notice.
Yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Mr. President, I'm going to call for the vote on your amendment.
Thank you, Councilman Hollins. Before we call for the vote, I would like to make a comment here. This is a discussion.
Yeah, motion made and second.
Has to be voted on.
Debate's closed.
Thank you.
No, that would call for a question. Get a second.
Can't do it. Can't question it.
That's exactly right.
No, I appreciate that. I was actually trying to wrap up a nice little sentence in the middle of the second. So I'll defer to Councilman Powers if he decides to make the second before I finish my sentence. But okay, thank you. Okay, we'll take a
roll call.
Madam Clerk, can you call the roll on the proposed amendment?
Mr. Bell?
No.
Mr. Cartier?
No.
Ms. Diller?
No.
Mr. Hollins?
No.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
No.
Mr. Kovacs?
Yes.
Mr. Powers?
No.
Mr. Retta?
No.
Mr. Sheldon?
No.
Mr. Smiley?
No.
Mr. Street?
No.
Mr. Tockett?
Yeah. No.
Mr. Weiner?
Yes.
Mr. President, the roll call goes 11 no, 2 yes.
The amendment as proposed is defeated. Moving on to discussion of the ordinance at hand, Councilman Hollins, any further comments?
Mr. President, I think that we spent an inordinate amount of time this afternoon upstairs discussing this ordinance. We've done the same thing here tonight, and even more time discussing your amendment to the ordinance. I think the ordinance speaks to itself. I think most council members have spoken in support of the ordinance, which I'm very grateful for. I think our community appreciate those council members who have spoken in favor of this ordinance and who I believe will vote for this ordinance tonight. And I think it's time to move on. I don't think we need to continue down a path that I think is not giving us anything positive. I still hold out a position of optimism and a position that this government's responsibility is to look out for those people who expect us to look out for those, and I think it goes beyond just counting beans. So I hope that this particular discussion will come to a close sooner rather than later. If the public has an opportunity to speak, I think I would say that's reasonable. But it's been going on too long not to get any place, and I don't think it's ending up any place different than I thought it would end up this afternoon when we had the discussion.
Thank you, Councilman. Any other comments from council? Councilman Weiner?
Yes, I would just like to state that if Mr. Riggs took anything that I stated today concerning the PAL board to be a personal affront, then I apologize. I recognize the challenges that face the board, and I concur with all the council members. All of us are united in not wanting to see services in any way denied or cut off for the PAL centers.
Thank you, Councilman. Really appreciate that in the sake of civility and moving forward in a positive fashion. Any other comments from council before we open the floor for the public? Councilman Retta?
I'd just like to make one comment. We're going back and forth like a ping pong ball here with this 50 and 101. There's a young gentleman that was out there at PAL that I met a couple of times, and he came before council, I believe it was last year, a year and a half ago. And he had troubles when he was growing up, and he is now a pillar in the community. He's gone into the service, and he helps out with PAL. And I think that $101,000 just for him, by us passing this, just for having somebody to come from trouble into a good standings community person, is well worth it. And that's what we're here for. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Any other questions, comments from Councilman before we open the floor for public comment? Seeing none, open up the floor for public comment. Seeing none, I call for a vote on emergency ordinance. And as mentioned previously by the county attorney, because of the nature of the ordinance, it does require a vote of 10 for approval. Madam Clerk, can you please call the roll?
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Cartier?
One of the 10, yes.
Ms. Diller?
Yes.
Mr. Collins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Kovac?
No.
Mr. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Retta?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Weiner?
No.
Mr. President, the roll call reveals 11 yes, 2 no.
Thank you, Madam Clerk.
That's 11.
Emergency ordinance number E11-001 is approved. All right.
Yeah, the bus didn't.
Now we get to the lovely section before we close the meeting. Does anyone from the public wish to address council before the close of the meeting? Seeing no one,
motion to adjourn.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Meeting is adjourned.